Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome and happy Saturday. I appreciate you joining me today. You know, the market out there, as everybody probably knows, is just absolutely crazy. It is amazing how difficult it is for some to find a house, although that's becoming difficult too, but it's becoming very difficult in the negotiations and trying to get the homes that are available if you're out there looking for a house. So there's so much to look at. And so I thought, well, the first thing I would do today is maybe talk about one specific option of what might help someone, or one of the questions I get, it's not really what might help them, what are the questions I get on, can I do this type of mortgage? And this is, the question I get is a bridge or blanket loan. And what a bridge or blanket loan, and this is normally suggested by the real estate agent, and in the right situation, it can be a good option. But I thought we should really talk about it, because for most people, it's not necessarily the right option. It is just an option, and you need to understand it. And then if you're in that market, we just need to talk about it and see if it's something that might work for you. But what a bridge or a blanket does is basically it takes two properties and it ties it into one mortgage. So you can buy a new property while you still have your old property, and if you have enough equity, you can carry that equity over into the new property. So it is in the right situation a very, very good option for many, many people. However, there's so many people that it's suggested to that when I talk to them, it's really not their best option. So I kind of gave you what they are. That's how they work. You have two properties. It could be more than two, but basically two properties put into one mortgage, or multiple properties put into one mortgage, hence the bridge or the blanket loan working together. And that's what they are. Now, how do they work? Basically, when you're doing this, we're going to talk about it specifically to purchasing a home where you have a home to sell. So what happens is the home that you're selling has to have a lot of equity, because that's where the only benefit to a blanket's going to be is if you have tons of equity in the home, so you can carry it over into the new home, and you don't have anything for a down payment for the new property. So you don't have any extra money. All your money is in the equity of your current home, so you don't have anything to bring over to the new home without selling your current home. A blanket or a bridge could be a great option. But you have to pay for, and this is how it works, you have to pay for an appraisal for the new property, appraisal for the existing property, title work for the old property, title work for the new property. So there's some additional costs. There's quite a bit of additional cost. Plus, this loan tends to have higher interest rates. And of course, you have dual costs, because you have the double appraisal, you have the double title company, you have the closing, you just have more expenses involved when you do a blanket loan. And why would you use one when I tell you, okay, here's all the negatives to a blanket? Why would you use one? And again, the reason you would use one is if you don't have the money, all your money's tied up in the equity of your home. So let's say you don't have the 5% on a conventional that you need for the down payment. So you're looking at a $300,000 home, you need 5% down, 5% is $15,000, and you don't have it, and you don't have anywhere to get it, and you can't get it, and it's all tied up in your house, but you have a $200,000 home, you owe $50,000 on, so you got $150,000 equity, and it would be nice to get into that equity. So that is the time that it might be worthwhile. If you're looking at doing this and you think this might be an option, just give me a call. We'll walk through it. We'll talk through the different options and just see what it looks like. I will tell you that a lot of times what actually is the best option is, as long as you have the down payment, even a minimum of 5% down, you buy the house with the 5% down. Now, some people will say, well, then I have two payments. Well, yes, and you don't have two payments on a blanket loan, but you have one payment for two properties. So it's about the same dollar, you know, it's about the same payment as you would have if you had two payments. So it's that's just, you know, semantics to me. That doesn't really make any difference. So you have, if we do it, you have two payments, you put the 5% down, and then once you sell your home, you can move that money over to the new home. You do what is called a recast of the mortgage. And what a recast of the mortgage is that's taking that money, you put it into the new home, you pay a fee, and then the new loan takes the new balance, keeps the same interest rate, keeps the same term that's remaining, and gives you a new payment. So the payment goes down once you've sold your current home and you put that extra money into the property. If you had mortgage insurance and you get it under that 25, that 20%, and this is, I'm talking in general, you could have somebody who has a different numbers than this, but basically if you get under 20%, then your mortgage, by paying it down, your mortgage insurance goes away, and so you've lowered your payment, principal and interest payment, you've lowered your monthly mortgage payment, your taxes and insurance obviously have stayed the same, but all in all, your payments come down if you do it not as a blanket or a bridge loan, but just by financing the home, you take the two mortgages. Now, it's weird today because a lot of people, I mean, not that long ago, even, you know, a year and a half ago, and for most of the time I can remember, you know, 30 years in and around mortgages, people, you know, they're like, well, I don't want two mortgages. Now, today, many people are doing two mortgages. They don't even think twice. And part of that's because the market is so hot. If you put your home on the market, it's going to sell right away. And the reason that you want to be able to qualify for a home right now, either through a blanket bridge loan or by, you know, qualifying on the house in and of itself, with a loan on your current home and just doing a new loan on the new property, is because the offer, when you're making offers, it is critical. You basically, the real estate agents I talk to say, there is no way you're going to get an offer accepted by a seller if it's contingent in this market. Now, there might be a time it happens, but for the most part, if it's contingent, it's not going to happen. Contingent meaning you're saying it's contingent on the sale of your home. However, homes are selling extremely fast. So as a buyer of a property with a home to sell, you don't want to sell your home before you buy the new property, because you don't want to, you want to be able to make sure you're in a house and you don't want to end up homeless. So there's a lot going on in this market. It does require, in my opinion, a very, very top-notch real estate agent to work with to get you through this process. Obviously, the mortgage people matter too, but the real estate agents, it's really important. So if you're looking at that, you don't have a real estate agent, you're wondering what to do, you want some expert advice, just let me know. You know, you can contact me. Probably the easiest way is go on hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. And from there, you can contact me. It has all my contact information, or you can contact me with the contact area there. And we can then talk about it, and I'll get you with an agent who, you know, some agents in your area that are very, very good, so you can find out the information that you need. You want to make sure that you're in the best possible position and you're working with the very best people. What I have found, no matter what you're doing, it's the team around you that matters. And so you want the very best team, especially, I know it sounds easy in this market, but it takes a lot in this market. And so you definitely want to work with a good team. If you, for some reason, you decide, you know, you want to sell your home on your own, you want to do it for sale by owner, that's okay. But I would still work. I would still at least talk to a real estate agent, make sure you're going down the right path. You don't want to undervalue your house. And then I think, you know, you definitely should talk with a mortgage person, because there's some things when you get an offer, you want to make sure of that person is qualified. We would want to look at that, make sure, so you didn't accept an offer that, you know, then didn't go through because their financing fell apart. So there's a lot that can happen. And so it's very important that we do that. So again, we talked about the blanket and the bridge loan. If you're looking at buying a home, we can certainly talk, you know, we want to talk about that, or just strictly financing the home. Bottom line is, it is vitally important that you do a pre-approval and that you talk to me so we can do that. Again, hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. And I truly appreciate it. After the break, we're going to talk about the rate market, what's going on with mortgage rates, and where it looks like they might be going.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining me. I truly appreciate it. We've talked about the market, we talked about the bridge loan, blanket loans, how to finance a home, maybe individually, you know, finance it while you haven't sold your current home. And a lot of this is because the market is so very, very hot right now. I was looking at some information and Indianapolis, Indiana as a whole, we are in the lowest area with the least amount of listings of anybody in the country. It's like there's five states in that range where there just isn't anybody looking to sell their house. People aren't selling their house yet. We're in a very hot market of people wanting to buy houses. And you know, you have to look at that and you think, okay, why, how is that? And I believe that it is the issue is that if you have a house, you're scared that you can't sell the home, that you can't buy a home. Or if you buy a home before you sell your home, that's okay if you can do that. But if you sell your home before you buy a home, where are you going to live? You know, that is a huge issue for many, many people. So, it's one of those things that really has to be worked out. And it is important that you get to that point, get comfortable. Most people, and that's why we talk about blanket, why we talked about financing the home, is because most people are buying the home before they sell because homes are selling so very quickly. I think our average time on market is less than 30 days. Everybody I've had who has had a home for sale, it's sold immediately, basically immediately. It's never been a problem. They've always sold it and been, some of them even closed before they close on the new house that they're purchasing. So it is very, very important that we talk about it before you go do this in this market because it is so very busy. Again, if you need to get a hold of me, you can go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
I was talking to Betty the other day. She had called in and she's looking to buy a home. And in this situation, she just wanted to know where her down payment could come from. She was trying to figure out how she could come up with the most down payment. Where in the world could her down payment come from? And, you know, down payments can come from a variety of places. Obviously, the number one spot that we get them from is our own savings. And this is, you know, it's very important that the money is your own money. You can't borrow your down payment. So for the most part, it needs to be your own money or gift from a family member. But your own money. So there are a lot of people, they have 401ks, they have their you know, retirement accounts, and those retirement accounts will let them borrow against those funds, or some of them will let you take some of those funds out to buy a home. That is one area that you can get. So that's one area Betty could get the money from, is she could do it from a 401k if you have that. She could also, you can also get it from a family member. So if you have a close relative, mostly a blood relative, but not exactly, it could be even a fiance or, you know, a father-in-law, mother-in-law, those type of things, you can get it as a gift from them. But you don't want to just go, hey, give me, you know, they give you the gift and then you say, okay, now I'm ready. If you're going to get a gift, we have to have all the right paperwork. So we have gift letters and all that has to be filled out. Everything has to be verified. So if you're going down that path, there's some things that have to be done, and you'd want to wait until we had talked and gotten you all the information so that we had everything we needed for the gift funds. Obviously, the easiest way is you've saved up the money. It's sitting in your account. It's been sitting there for, you know, more than 2 months, and we don't have to, you know, we can verify it with your bank statements, so we shows right there, or your investment shows that it's been there, what it is, that's where it's coming from, and then we're all good. So that's where Betty can get her down payment from. There are some down payment assistance programs out there. That's another area to get those. Some of those are very specific on what you can do. They all tend to have income minimum or maximum income levels. So there are, I find that there's a lot of people who don't actually qualify for those based on their income. So we always have to look at the income, make sure that you qualify for that. But those are the areas you can get your down payment if you you're in that situation, you're trying to buy a house. It could be that you're selling your current home and you haven't sold it yet. Another area, I guess, when you're selling your home, if you happen to have a home equity line of credit on your home, that is an area you can take the money from the home equity line of credit and you can use that for down payment because it's considered the equity out of your house. Now that we would have to count the payment against you in our ratios, but it is certainly, that's an area that it can come from. So with all that said, so down payment we've talked about. Now we want to move on to what in the world is going on in the market, not just the real estate market, but what's going on in the mortgage market. Applications are down, and they're down for a couple of reasons. Mortgage interest rates, everybody has heard, have gone up, but the reality is they haven't gone up very much. They are still very, very close to the record lows. And what happened is they went up a little bit, everybody heard about it, then they dropped back down, and nobody seems to know that they dropped back down. So there is still a tremendous opportunity before rates go back up to lock in and refinance or purchase a home with these very, very low rates. The biggest worry that we have with interest rates right now is inflation. And the inflation numbers have been coming out, and it hasn't been good. And they look at year-over-year inflation, and one of the reasons it's not been good is because the year-over-year last year, you take last year in May was a negative inflation number because COVID had just hit. I think it was negative 0.3. Well, that fell off, and it may have been negative 0.6, but something in that, and that fell off. That was gone. And then so that's a really low number and a negative number. And then inflation came out at, like, you know, now we're at an average of like 3.6 because the new number, you know, was quite a bit higher. And obviously it was much higher than the 0.6. And for some reason, I just don't remember what that number came in at. So the inflation numbers came in, and we would expect, because of those inflation numbers, a normal market would have reacted with higher interest rates. But that's not what happened. What happened was that the feds are buying so much in the mortgage-backed security bonds. They're the player in it. And they're buying right now somewhere around $26 billion a month, or I'm sorry, a week, $26 billion a week in mortgage-backed securities, which is artificially keeping this down. And as long as they do that, that's going to keep mortgage interest rates down. Now, the initial jobless claims, measure individual filings for unemployment benefits for the first time. So this is the initial, and it decreased by 20,000 to 385, which that's a good thing that number came down. And that's the lowest level since the pandemic started. I think it's the first time since the pandemic that we were under 400,000 in new initial jobless claims. The continuous claims, however, and those are the claims that have continued, that every month just keep going, they actually increased by 169,000 to 3.77 million. The pandemic unemployment assistance claims, which gives individual benefits. This is the benefits that are done because of the pandemic, and these people would no longer qualify for unemployment. The pandemic emergency claims, which extended benefits and benefits after the regular benefits expired, decreased by roughly 45,000. Combined, that's 15.4 million individuals are still receiving benefits through all of their programs. Now, it is down 366,000 for the week from the previous week, but it's still at 15.4 million people. So it is very, very high. Unemployment is still very, very high. They love to go out and quote the low numbers. You know, the fact that it dropped 20,000 for the initial claims, and we only have 3.77 million on the continuing claims. But the reality is, when you throw everything in together, we're at 15.4 million people. They like to claim that, you know, our unemployment rate is what, at 5.8%, when it's really more in the 15% range, maybe even as high as 20% range. So those things would, again, those numbers in unemployment would normally be good for mortgage rates. It means the economy's not doing well, and that tends to be good for mortgage rates. So, you know, but inflation is a negative to mortgage rates. But all of this, as you look at it, all of it doesn't really make a big difference, because the feds are buying so much in mortgage-backed securities that it just doesn't change anything. It's everything staying. If the feds come out and they announce that they're going to cut what they're buying in the federal funds and the mortgage-backed securities, that's when we'll probably see rates increase. We think that could be late this summer, maybe early fall, and we think that they would give us a 2-month leeway before it actually happens, where they start cutting what they're buying in the mortgage-backed securities. But you have to understand that as soon as they announce it, mortgage rates are going to go up. So if they announced it next week and you didn't refinance or you haven't purchased, you're going to have a higher interest rate because of that. Because as soon as they announce it, we're going to see rates kick up. And it could kick, you know, it could go up as much as a half or a full percent. It could go maybe even more. It's hard to tell exactly what it's going to do, but right now it's artificially low. So you just have to understand that when that happens, we're going to see higher interest rates. These low interest rates will be gone for a while. They'll probably be gone until we see these numbers, you know, until the economy, if it doesn't improve, and then we see inflation stop. Now, there is some, as you look at this, I talked about where, as you look at this, and with inflation, rates are going up, and we're looking at, you know, the inflation going up. We're seeing that the pandemic last year, we were in negative numbers, but last, I think August and September, we had pretty hot inflation numbers, even in the pandemic. So we'll probably see that number, which is like year over year at 3.6% inflation, which is higher than most investors want. Yeah, let's talk about that. Why does an investor care? An investor cares because a mortgage bond is a fixed rate investment. So if you're buying a fixed rate investment and you have inflation is deteriorating the value of your bond. Your return on your money is deteriorated. So it's, you know, if you're it really can hurt. And if you're investing at 2% or 2.2% and inflation is at 3 or 3.5 or 4%, that is a real big deterrent for people to buy that bond. It really does hurt the value, and you don't have as much, what you paid is, it's not worth what it was. So it's very damaging to somebody who buys bonds. So if you buy a bond, you buy a $20,000 bond, and if with inflation, you may only be able to sell that because of the inflation for $15,000 or $14,000, you've lost $5,000-$6,000. I'm being very, very big overview on that, but that's how it works, and that's why they care. The other thing I want to talk about, and the other reason I believe that we're going to see rates, I think rates are going to come down. I think they're going to go up, and then I think that we might have a chance that they'll go down again. Who knows if they'll ever get to where they were? Those were record lows. It had never been that low. So if you're betting, I doubt you bet on the lowest that's ever happened. Not that it couldn't, but I just wouldn't go that way. But we're going to talk a little bit about demographics, and I know this sounds kind of weird, but the average first-time home buyer is 33 years old. And in 1988, which is 33 years ago. And actually, the birth started to increase. They had dropped down till about 1975, and then birth rates increased. And they increased all the way up to 1990. 1990, they hit their top at about, you know, for quite some time since the 50s. And they were about 4,200,000, somewhere in that neighborhood, for birth rates in the U.S. So that happened in 1988. The average person buys their first home at 33. So 33 years from 1990, 33 years is 2023. So we're a couple years off from where it hit its high. And as it climbs to that high, it's just got more and more births. So we're looking at a time when there's a tremendous amount of first-time home buyers coming into the market. There is a huge market for first-time home buyers. After 2023, the market slows down a little bit, but we're still at highs. I mean, we're still extremely high for the next till about 2012, 2013. And even then, it's still very, very high. So it looks like with the birth rate, we're going to see a tremendous amount of first-time home buyers coming into the market for the next 15, 20 years. That is going to be very good for home sales and new home sales. It's going to be very good for that. And because of that, and with that going on, there's also the mortgage market with refinances having, you know, dried up because the rates went up, and the investment quality and the Fed's pulling out of the mortgage-backed security bond market to a point. They're not going to pull out totally, but again, they're buying $26 billion. They might drop back to $10 billion a week, or, you know, you just don't know where they're going to drop down to. And that's going to really have an effect, and that's going to push rates up. Then as the economy, as these the inflation numbers come back down, which I believe based on the numbers that we're going to replace, that will happen in the fall to early next year, somewhere in that time frame, mostly in the fall, and then it should continue. As that happens, if the economy doesn't improve, that's where we could see some interest rates go back down. They go up to. That does not mean they'll make it back to where we are today. They likely will not. I mean, these are record lows, but they could come down from that point. But it's still, as I said, this is a very, very, very good time to buy a home. It's a great time to refinance because the rates are still low. And if you're in that position, then it makes a lot of sense to look at it because it is only a short term. You're about to lose out on that opportunity. And you really want to make sure what it is for you before you make that decision. Don't let the market make that decision for you. You should make that decision for yourself on whether this makes sense for you to refinance or to purchase a home. I kind of hate to be so strong on it, but it's one of those things where it just there's a tremendous amount of people who they refinance as soon as we get any drop. They know what's going on. They watch it. They pay attention, and they know what's going on, and they refinance right away. But there is a huge group of people, and you probably are in the first group where you've paid attention. But there's a huge group of people who do not know, and they should be refinancing. They may be in the mid fours, they may be in the fives, and they should be refinancing. But somehow, it is a huge group of people. You can do them a favor by letting them know that the rates are still very, very low, and this makes a tremendous time for them to look at refinancing. Even if they have credit issues or, you know, any of those things, we can look at that and see how we can make it better for them. You know, homes have never been worth more money than they are today. So this is a phenomenal time for those people to look at doing that. Maybe even if they have debt, cashing out, get rid of that debt. There's just so many things. The key is just have them contact me. Have them go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. And they can contact me from there. We can talk about their situation. I'll produce some great reports that they can actually see what the benefit would be. If they don't want to do it online, they can also call me. My direct line is 317-215-7600. That's 317-215-7600. Thanks for joining me today. I appreciate it very much. Next week, we're going to talk about how you shop for a home in this type of market.